Happy you're with us today on Community Matters. It's a Saturday thing on WBCK, made possible by Lakeview Ford Lincoln. And anytime, episodes available at battlecreekpodcast.com. I'm Richard Pyatt. Well, we have an election day coming up on Tuesday. Did you know that? May 7th. And a number of decisions being made, particularly if you are in the Harper Creek Community Schools District. There is a bond question. And Superintendent Rob Ridgway is here to talk a bit about that. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on today.
Well, we appreciate this, and it's always an opportunity to offer clarity about what's being asked, right? Because if we look at the language, for example, we might stop and say, wait, what does that mean? And this gives us an opportunity to learn that. What are we asking for, Rob?
So this bond proposal is asking to really build classrooms for kids. There's other things on the proposal, but the majority is our elementary schools. We're asking for additions at each one. We have three, four classroom additions at each. And then at our middle school, we would do a remodel of a pool area that's been vacant for many years. I think 12 plus years that pool has not been in use. So that would be renovated into classroom spaces. Now there's other things. Having the furniture for the classrooms, the technology for those same classrooms. We had a safety assessment done last year, and one of those things that they said that we could do is adding safety film to our entrance windows. Everybody saw the tragedy in Nashville, and that would help ensure that our staff and students have more time to get to safety in the worst case scenario. Other things, parking lots and pick up and drop off of students is always an issue within schools. Anybody who has school-age children know going to the drop-off or the pickup line sometimes can be a little bit of a tough situation. So trying to improve, getting cars off-road so that we're not clogging up traffic. Those are some of the main points within the bond, but really building more classrooms for our current population.
Yeah, so expanded population, student population means the need for more rooms. It's that simple, right?
It is. And so we actually have seen more in district growth. We've talked about that quite a bit. And what that would look like is we don't have a lot of new homes being built, but we have a lot of homes being sold. Maybe a couple or a family that no longer has kids in school sell their family home, and then a new younger family moves in that does have school-age children. We've seen growth in that area. We do participate in the school choice program. Our Board of Education has capped school choice. And so we only allow up to a certain percent of school choice students in our school. And so the way that we do that is we target. And so each grade level in first through 12th grade has a targeted number of openings that we have for school choice students. And, you know, that has been an issue for some. They say, you know, it's only being built because of school choice. And I would argue that, yes, we participate in the school choice program, but we have also seen in-district growth, and we're excited about that. That's really what we want to see is people choosing to come to and buy homes within the Harper Creek area that have families.
You know, with everything you described there in your list, Rob, I didn't hear anything that was pie in the sky. This is all stuff that has to be done eventually when you own buildings.
Yeah, correct. The Harper Creek has gone out for a bond. The first big bond was we built our high school, and that was in 2002 when the bond vote occurred. And then they went back out in 2008 to do enhancements from the first bond. So we haven't been to voters for a voted upon bond since that point. And as I said, we have a situation where we've used all of our available space. I think we've done a pretty good job of planning. In 2016, we did a community plan, went through a process, and at the end of that, decided it wasn't time for us to go out. There were other road millages that were going to be on ballots, and so we just decided it wasn't. But the reason we decided it is now is because we have teachers on carts in the elementary school, so they do not have a classroom. Our middle school is using every available space. We have seen the population in our middle school grow. And so we could have added a fifth and a seventh grade classroom this year, but we just don't have any more space to put those. And that causes our class sizes to be a little higher than we would like.
That makes sense. So you end up spreading out the students that might have populated an additional classroom among the existing ones. Right. And in case folks don't know, typically the size of a number of pupils in a classroom has a direct effect on learning, does it not?
It does. And during the pandemic, we were able to reduce our class sizes down. Now, many kids were doing virtual education while some kids were in person in Harper Creek. We were really proud that we brought our kids back. Our elementary kids were full time in person in the fall of 2020. And of course, some families chose to do virtual, but the kids that we had approximately 17 students or so in a classroom. And we really thought those class sizes were really good. Mm-hmm. Well, since, you know, kids have came back and now our class sizes are growing and we want to have spaces to keep our class sizes down, as well as not having any of our teachers on cards. And when I say we used every available space, I mean, every single available space for classrooms we have done over the years to accommodate the growth that we did have. And now we're just getting past that. We are projected, you have to do an enrollment projection anytime you think about doing a bond. And the five-year projection is showing at the low end, a 6% growth rate in Harper Creek.
In 5 years?
Yeah, over that five-year period, you know, it's a 6% growth.
Yeah. So here you are now with a at capacity situation, essentially, and a growth trajectory coming. So this has to be the time, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so the Board of Education, you know, looked really hard, and they understand anytime you go to the voters and ask them to increase taxes. So this would be an approximate 0.6 mil increase to taxpayers. And they take that very seriously, and they didn't move forward previously when we had things on the table that we could have done, but we said it wasn't quite the right time. And now we feel like these are needs that need to be done. And so the board decided to move forward with a bond proposal and getting information out to say the why. Here's the reason why we're thinking that this is necessary. We really need these classrooms. It's not something that of a want, it's more of a need within the district. And so the board decided to move forward, and you know, here we are. The actual election is on May 7th. It's coming up next Tuesday. Although I know a lot of folks have received and have actually used their absentee ballots already.
When we talk about 0.6 mils, what are we talking about in terms of practical amounts?
So if I have a $200,000 market value house, which is fairly typical in Harper Creek,
yeah,
that would be $5 a month or $60 a year, in addition to what they're currently paying with their school indebtedness. And so you can do the math. And so if it's, you know, half of that, it would be, if you're a $100,000 house, $2.50 a month, $30 a year. And I don't want to say that that's just a minor amount, because for some, every single dollar counts. And I know it's a major decision for folks within our community. And we want to put out there that we understand. We are just saying that we feel, as a governance team, our school board, myself, our administrative staff, that we really need these classrooms.
When you say a teacher is working on a cart and they don't have a classroom, I think you can conjure an image of what that's like. They're pushing their stuff around on a cart. And how do they teach? I mean, where do they go?
Right. So what happens is typically what we have currently is our specials classes, like integrated arts or our Spanish class, because we offer Spanish to all of our elementary students. We have a science special that we have at one of our elementary schools. Those are the teachers that we're talking about that would have a cart that would go into the teacher's classroom. So let's say I'm a first grade teacher. I'm teaching throughout the day. The specials teacher comes in. Let's say it's the integrated arts teacher comes in with the cart, and they teach in their classroom. So mm-hmm. the teacher on the cart would go to everybody else's classrooms during their specials time to teach. And that's how we've gotten by over the last several years. It started during the COVID times because of necessity, but yeah, it's continued even past because of growth.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me as a young kid. And mind you, those years are getting further and further away. But if you went to an art class, your teacher took you to that room, and that's where the art teacher was situated. What you're saying is now that art teacher comes to them, and maybe, you know, they're using what they can push on that cart.
Correct. And then the other piece of the pie that people may not think about is when the art teacher is in the classroom with the students, then the teacher has to go somewhere else to do their planning, to do their preparation. Mm-hmm. And so they also have to take all of their stuff with them so they can be successful. So there's a couple of things on both ends. At the middle school, we don't have people on carts yet. More than likely, we will. A program that we have instituted at Harper Creek is the autistic program, the ASD classes, Autism Spectrum Disorder teachers. We have a classroom in the elementary school. We just added a classroom at the middle school. We're thinking about adding a third classroom at the elementary school because of need. And finding space for these classrooms, there just isn't. And so if we were to add these programs in, it would cause more teachers to unfortunately have to go on to carts. Uh-huh. And that's a tough conversation when I go to a staff member and say, I'm really sorry, but for this particular school year, you're going to have to work from a cart.
Well, you can imagine that if folks listening could put themselves into that position for a moment, and maybe some of them are, but generally speaking, if you had no place to put your things and conduct your business, and you just kept carrying your things around, you can imagine what that might be like. Rob, you mentioned that some of this would include classroom technology that comes along with the classrooms you hope to build. What's that look like these days?
Well, it's within a classroom. We have a media projector, and that is, you can project wirelessly from a laptop. So your laptop projects to it, and you can put whatever you need to on your screen so kids can see it. But it would also include any wireless capacity. So all of our classrooms in the elementary specifically, they have a cart with enough laptop computers for every single student to have one. And the same is true in the middle school. And so the wireless technology is important because then the kids can connect wireless. And I don't want people to think that's all we teach from. But for example, we are in the midst of state testing, and you have to do state testing on a computer now. And mm-hmm. So it's really a necessity. Other things within that classroom is ensuring that we do have the number of laptops that we need, the computer cart that is needed, all of the wiring. We're in process of doing a safety initiative outside of the bond where we are adding a classroom notification system that has the speaker strobes, where if we have that emergency, and let's say we do push the lockdown button for a school, then strobe lights come on and the notification comes out so that people can go to safety automatically. So things like that would be a piece of the technology pie as well. One thing I want to mention, there's other parts of the bond, you know, that are maybe smaller, but I want to make sure nobody thinks I have anything that's not on the table. So our bus garage, we're looking at doing a replacement of that parking lot in our high school. It's a fairly new building, 20 years old, fairly new. There's some roof replacement that needs to happen, you know, not a major job, but something that is tough to take out of the general fund. Also a secured vestibule that we would like to put in at our student entrance. Right now we have a secured vestibule where visitors enter, but that would just make things safer again from our safety assessment. And then we also are expanding our weight room in the high school, and we're looking at buying some weight equipment. So those would be all of the things that are within this bond proposal for the estimated $24 million that could be raised with the 0.6 million.
What are folks asking you most about as it relates to this?
There's a couple different things. I'll start with casino money. So we are very fortunate that there is a casino within our school district. And there is a compact with the state of Michigan in which Harper Creek Community Schools receives payment in lieu of taxes. It's called the PILT. And that money is about $2 million a year. And to be more specific, the last couple of years, it's been about $2.3 million. And some folks say, why don't we use that money to do our expansion? The unfortunate part is it's not enough to do this project. So we can't necessarily bond with that money. So we couldn't bond for several years and do the project up front. We either have to do a little bit at a time to make it happen. And the needs are now and not in the long term. The other thing that the casino money is used for is for projects. We bought every single bus over the last 10 years out of the of this PILT money, this casino money. I'll call it casino money because people understand that a little better than the word PILT from the casino money. Also, any kind of maintenance type projects. Now, some schools have what they call sinking funds, which are used for upgrades for specifically for maintenance. We use the casino money for that process. We have our SROs, our school resource officers, our police officers are within the school. We have three of them. It does pay for our school nurse, and it pays for our health aides that we have within the district. So we use the casino money for lots of needs that are potentially above and beyond what we could do if we did not have that. A fraction of that money, about 45%, does go into the general fund, but we are continuing to wean ourselves away from the use of the casino money for general fund purposes. We look at it more as projects that need to be done. So that question came up. The other big question is school choice, and I've mentioned that already. The board has capped school choice. And so, yes, we are part of that program, but we do feel it's important for folks to know that the board has gone through that process. And when you look at school choice, there's school choice in and there's school choice out. So in total, we are about plus 300 for the number of more students that we have because of the school choice program, because we have so many that come in, about 29%, and we have so many that leave the district. It's not as big of a number when you look at it in terms of the net number of school choice.
Mm-hmm. And of course, folks' concerns about that, I suppose, are derived from the idea that they're supporting a district in where they live, and students might be coming from elsewhere to avail themselves of an education in that district, and I'm paying for it. That's kind of maybe the short-sighted view of that.
Right. And just a couple things on how schools are funded in Michigan. Schools are funded for general fund purposes on per pupil amounts from the state foundation allowance. And that money travels with students as if they're school of choice or in-district kids. And so the amount we're talking about where the taxpayers would be asked to pay is the property tax to pay for basically facilities. And yes, that is true, that there are outside kids that would take advantage of the facilities that we have. But I'm pretty proud of the fact that lots of people are choosing Harper Creek as a school district they want to be. And I think that's a good thing. I also think that it's something we want to ensure that we look to say, we have some students that are leaving the district to go other places, and what can we do differently to have those students stay and choose to come to Harper Creek as well? So I think it's a compliment that we have more school choice or more students coming to our district than go elsewhere. But I also think that it's a reality effect. I'm a person, I want to be straight up. This is exactly what you're looking at for this vote. These are all the things that are out there. I want to recognize the challenges, but I also want to recognize we have kids in our school and staff that really needs these facilities. And I want people to understand what we're asking for, and then just vote your conscience. We definitely aren't going to tell people what they should or should not do at the ballot box. But what we are asking is just simply, cast your ballot, be that in person on May 7th or be that through absentee voting. We heard in the state of Michigan, about 20% of voters have an absentee ballot at this point. So it's a fairly large amount. And typically when people get an absentee ballot, they do vote.
Yeah. They've gone through the process of saying, I want it that way. So they follow through. So when you compute the 6% enrollment gain trajectory that you expect over the next 5 years, juxtaposed against what you propose to do with this bond money and the expansion, does that sync up nicely for you? Can you say, okay, if we do have a 6% increase in 5 years from now, we'll be able to accommodate that with these expansions?
Right. And what I've been saying is, yes, I do agree with that. And what we're looking at is, so our 2002 bond and then the addition in 2008 will expire in 2035. So 11 years from now. And so this bond will get us for sure through that point. And we want to make sure you don't ever want to take something and build too much. You want to be just right. You want to have just the amount that taxpayers can say, okay, we're okay with this because you're living within your means. You're not trying to build something just in case. We're building for what we have now. And then we can take a look in another 10 years, 10 or 11 years down the road to decide, are we continuing to grow? Are we the right size now? And if that's another point in time where we can make another decision. But right now, I feel like this is what our needs are. One thing I haven't mentioned is we do have preschool classrooms within the district. Currently, two of our preschool classrooms are in our high school because we have that's where we had space. It would be much better if those two classrooms were moved back to the elementary buildings, and we can do that with this potential project. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because some people think, well, how in the world can you have preschool at the high school? But I just have this philosophy that young adolescents, they'll reach your expectation. And if you expect them to, you know, do well in front of younger children, they will. I mean, we have to trust them that they're going to be good, caring adults, members of society, hopefully having families of their own. And so there's no reason in the world that they should not be exposed to and be around younger kids.
Maybe it'll inspire a few of them to be teachers.
Yeah, that's another conversation. But yeah, we do. I'd have to say this because we do have a program. We have, I believe it's two different high school kids that are going to get basically full rides through the Grow Your Own program, the Grow Your Own Teacher program. Yep. And so they're currently high school students that are going to go to college to become teachers. So that there's your answer right there. We've got a couple in the pipeline already.
And some of that, some discussions of that program have come up previously on this show. So that might ring a bell with a few folks listening. Rob, how do you look ahead and say, boy, you know, asking for these bonds can be nerve-wracking and challenging and all of these things. How do you say, you know, 20 years from now, wouldn't it be nice if we had, you know, a rainy day fund or a capital improvement fund that we'd thrown money into that has grown, et cetera? I mean, I suppose if you're dreaming, that might be part of the thought, but it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not easy. We have to live within our means, within our budget. I had talked about the casino money some, and so the Board of Education does save a portion of that casino money each year for future needs, we call it. We, in fact, call it that, the Future Needs Fund. This year, we are going to use a significant portion of the Future Need Funds to replace the turf on our in our stadium. We had made a promise when the bond occurred in 2008 that when that needed a replacement, we would not come back to taxpayers. And so they did save the money over time. But we have so many needs that it's hard to save a significant amount of that money over time. We can save part of that and we can use that for future things. We do have a building committee. It's a board level committee. And that's the committee that looks at that long-term strategic plan for facilities. And we've been meeting, you know, for many, many years. And this was one of those things that we continue to look at and define when is the right time that we would go to voters. And we did determine that this was the time with the rest of the Board of Education. But we're also looking at what are those long-term plans past that? Which buildings that we have are the ones in the most need? What's going to be next on the list, I guess you would say, of things that we have to, you know, do larger projects with. And so that committee is keeping an eye on things at all times.
All right. Well, best of luck on Tuesday, May 7. This is your opportunity in the Harper Creek Community Schools District to cast a vote regarding the bond proposal that is being presented to you. And there are other districts asking for similar support. And so you may see that where you are as well. But I think probably, Rob, what you've talked about, it characterizes, generally speaking, what a lot of districts face, right? The idea that there have been buildings built over the course of 50 or 60 years, and those needs are there. And anybody who owns a home or owns a car, those things, we understand, right, that things come along, that maintenance demands we take care of. And in a lot of ways, this is what we're talking about here. So we'll be watching on May 7 and 8 and the outcomes and going forward. So good luck to you, Rob.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And, you know, as I've been saying this entire time, you know, I just want to encourage people to vote your conscience. You've seen, you know, what the school district is asking for in the proposal. And now it's really your turn, your voice of what do we do moving forward in terms of our facilities. So just please vote on May 7th.
Rob Richway, Harper Creek Community School Superintendent on Community Matters.